ever since Disney has bought Star Wars and Marvel, there have been questions from the fan community. What exactly is an Inhuman? How is it different than a mutant? What's the expanded universe? What language do Wookiees speak? Are Storm and Black Panther still married? The answer to all these questions and much more on WDWNT On The Air's new show, Nerd Alert, with your host, Joe Hogarty.
Welcome to episode 13 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm Joe Hogarty, and joining me are Patrick Hackett.
Hey.
And Ron Deanna.
Aloha.
So, guys, how you been?
Good. Pretty good.
I'm disappointed I wasn't at Comic-Con to see a 9-foot-tall Hulkbuster in person, but otherwise good. Yourself, Mr. Host?
I'm doing pretty good. Looking forward to the show. And I guess we're going to get right into the news right now. One of the big items that was mentioned this week was that Inhumans, the movie, may possibly be canceled. Now, the background for this story was apparently someone overheard this conversation in a bar between some Marvel execs that they were canceling the Inhumans movie. But that's kind of iffy. That's just someone overhearing a conversation. But lately, I've been hearing that the television group and the movie group are kind of battling each other, because the movie group under Kevin Feige is still reporting to Alan Horn, and the television group is reporting to, what's his name, Isaac Perlmutter, I believe.
Whoever the head of Marvel is in general.
Yeah. And it sounds like the television group wants to tell the stories of the Inhumans on TV through Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So they want to keep that separate from the movie. So there could be some sort of truth to that, that there could be a little bit of problem with that movie actually going theatrical. And so what do you guys think?
I don't know.
It makes some sense.
Go ahead, Rob.
It makes some sense to me, because we know, you know, they basically pulled the rug out from under Perlmutter, I guess is what we decided his name was, when they moved the studios over to Alan Horn. So he could be doing this out of spite.
Yeah.
And see, if anybody who's paid any attention to Nerd Alert knows that one of my big problems is the divide between the DC cinematic universe and the DC television universe. And like we've said before, you can simply put that to rest with the multiverse theory, which I think they might even do in Flash. But to me, I was really looking forward to Inhumans because it was being built on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I wanted to see these actors who I'm getting to know and enjoy and appreciate. I want to see them ply their craft on the big screen. I think that would be a nice break for them. I like the way that the stories were intertwining, so I'd be disappointed if it was canceled.
Yeah, I'd like to see it theatrically. I mean, I'm sure that, first of all, it's going to have a bigger budget, which means definitely better special effects. And it's just going to be overall better quality than what something you would see on TV. But who knows? I guess it's just right now it's out there as a rumor that it could be canceled. They've been doing a lot of shifting around, and we'll get into this later, because they did announce at Comic-Con a couple of movies actually joining Phase 3. And like I said, we'll get into that in a little bit. But I guess one saving grace is, again, Vin Diesel is hinting that he's still playing a Marvel character, and he's kind of referencing Black Bolt again. And I don't think that he'd be doing that if they haven't approached him about it recently.
You never know with him, honestly. I think he'd make a great Black Bolt, and I think it's hysterical that between, you know, Black Bolt not speaking and Groot only saying, "I am Groot," he's gonna make boku dollars for not saying very much at all.
Yeah, and the other thing I don't see in humans going anywhere is because they are using it in place of the X-Men, and I mean, that's kind of what's been hinted at. What's going on in the books is the X-Men are going off into space with this whole relaunch, and then the humans are kind of taking that role of mutants in the world.
There's so many X-Men team and so many fractures, which is really crazy because everything really relates to the fact that the disagreements between Marvel and Fox can't get worked out. And so a lot of these characters are getting buried or split up, and it's a strange time in Marvel Comics.
I was going to say, do you think that Diesel got paid big bucks for being Groot?
Absolutely.
I know he probably did some motion capture, right?
He did some mocap. He, you know, recorded it in 13 different languages saying, "I am Groot." He was a star of the movie. I know it seems odd that he only said those few words, but I think, like, the facial emotions and stuff are Diesel's.
Mm.
And you know what? He could do it with the dad bod.
Yeah, so I guess we're just going to have to take a wait-and-see attitude as to what's going to happen in Humans. I'm sure we're going to see them somehow, either TV or theatrical or both. Hopefully both. We'll see. All right, the next story we're going to talk about is Damage Control coming to ABC next year. And correct me if I'm wrong, guys. I mean, I know very little about this team, but basically it's a team of workers that come out once either the Avengers or some other team destroy the city, and they just basically try to fix things.
I know, yeah, very little. It's like basically you're supposed to be the office with superheroes that they're all like insurance adjusters or something.
Mm-hmm.
So from my understanding, it's a team of insurance adjusters and construction workers, and they, you know, come and do the cleanup after big battles. And it's supposed to be lighter. It's supposed to be a comedy. The funny thing is that DC is also producing a series very similar to this.
Yeah, I heard that. Do you remember what it's called?
I do not.
But yeah, I remember reading that too. It's like, oh boy, you know, hopefully one of them will work out.
We started talking about this last episode. I mean, we really might be pushing the superhero breaking point with this.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you, like, I don't watch anything on TV that I'd rather watch movies theatrically than watch TV shows. Like, I really have never seen an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Not interested in Agent Carter. I know I should be watching Flash, Arrow. I hear those are really good. But, yeah, I think I'm going to watch Supergirl, though, when that comes out, because I've been a big fan of Superman, and I've always liked Supergirl, so I'm kind of looking forward to that.
I think watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. originally started off as you have to, because there was tidbits in the Marvel Universe that you would miss, but it's actually developed into a really good show, and the characters and the actors are coming into their own. I suggest checking it out.
And at this point, I mean, it is still tied in. And the build-up to, you know, the inciting incident for Civil War, as opposed to kind of...
Oh, it's been happening. It's been happening on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an Inhuman event, it looks like. And that's where the Registration Act is going to have to come in play.
I'm going to say, speaking of Civil War, I picked up the Avengers Age of Ultron Blu-ray recently and got to watch it at home a couple of times. I saw it in the movies a few times. And I actually kind of liked it a lot better once I got it home. And I thought it was really good. I mean, it's not as good as the first one.
No, but definitely not.
It's got a lot of great battle scenes. The acting is very good. The comedy is very good. Like we said in the past, I think that they may have screwed up slightly with the editing. I think that some things are missing that would have made it more understandable. Example, Ultron's motive and stuff like that for being how he was. But overall, you know, I enjoyed it. Some of my friends that had not seen it yet, they saw it, and they really enjoyed it, too. So, it was a decent movie. It was pretty good. Have you guys picked it up?
I've picked it up. I have not had a chance to watch it or any of the special features, though I was discussing in detail the... there's a little documentary on there about the Infinity Stones.
Yeah, I saw that.
And they actually kind of they actually come out and say... I mean, I think there's been articles about this, but I think this is the first time, like, on film... that they've said what stones we've seen so far and which... Because I think they came out and said Vision's stone is Mind, the one from the Loki Pokey stick.
Did you just call it the Loki Pokey stick?
You've never heard that?
No,
I've never heard it either. It sounds like Hokey Pokey.
Oh,
the Hokey Pokey stick, yeah. That is mined. I believe space was the Tesseract.
Yeah.
Power was the what was the one in the Guardians? Did they even call it anything?
No.
That was power, and reality was the ether.
Yeah.
So we're still missing soul and time.
Yeah, they better get kicking. Because I can't see them introducing that in Civil War.
I mean, it could just be the shawarma seed.
I could see them introducing it in Doctor Strange.
Absolutely.
I mean, well, I think everybody is putting money that the Eye of Agamotto is going to be the Soul Gem or something to do with the Soul Gem.
Yeah, we'll see. Again, I'm sure there are tons of people that have seen Avengers Age of Ultron. Definitely check it out if you haven't. It is a great movie. And you know what else? I also heard this the other day. I don't know if you guys have heard this. Did you hear how much Downey is apparently going to be making for
It's all Infinity the money. War? It's just all of it. Every dollar.
What do you mean?
He gets all the money.
Yeah, like they're saying for part one and part two, he should be making about $200
million. Well,
that's going to be because of profit sharing. They're not just going to pay him that up front.
So he's getting something off the back end?
I think all of them are.
I think Downey gets dollar one. There's a couple different ways, and this is a little quick Hollywood accounting lesson. There's a couple different ways that you get profit percentage. Dollar one is basically, you know, what we see as the gross. You get, you know, like the numbers that get reported, you get your percent off of that. What's more common is you get part of the net, and that is the studio can play with the numbers, and, you know, because they only get about half of what we see as that gross. And then they're going to write off the marketing costs and all this before they start paying the profit percentages. And there's plenty of cases about this. It's been called unconscionable by certain judges. I believe the big case on it actually involved Coming to America, was kind of how they got into Hollywood accounting, was how much the writer was due. But so Downey, I think, is supposed to get dollar one, what I remember hearing, which means if it makes $1 billion, he gets whatever percent of that $1 billion gross. I think it was Jack Nicholson got that for the original Batman.
Yeah.
And that's when it was still at one of the highest paydays ever for any single movie, because he ended up with he took scale plus 2% of the film or something and got some $60 million out of it.
It's funny because I remember reading the story too that David Prowse, who played Darth Vader, I think he agreed to some sort of deal for Return of the Jedi, and he's never seen a cent because they do some sort of Hollywood accounting adjusting so that when everything is done net wise, they basically let him know, yeah, we didn't make a profit off of the film because due to all the expenses that we incurred. So he hasn't really been paid a cent for. I mean, every time they re-release it on video, they kind of fudge the numbers so that.
Right. What will happen is the home video division will get all the profits and pay a nominal fee to the division that owns the copyright on the owns the film. And that's, you know, so with Disney, you know, Lucasfilm is its own business entity within the studios. So the studios will take the money and only pass on enough to Lucasfilm to, you know, break even, so they show that on their books so it doesn't show any profits. That's the way they play it, is with using different distributors and different divisions of the company.
All right, so I guess that's all the news.
And that's all the news? About. Are you crazy?
We're going to get into this. It's kind of a bit of a main topic right now. Marvel recently announced...
Wait a minute, Joe.
What?
That's it for the news?
Yes.
The most famous superhero of all time is coming to a Disney park, and you just breeze it over.
He's not coming to my park.
No, he's not. Damn Universal.
And I've already seen him in Paris.
Wait, you saw Spider-Man in Paris?
Yeah, he was just kind of there.
Guys, you can see him in Times Square anytime you want. No! You probably see about 10 of them.
It's gross. He is gross in Times Square, and he smells funny.
That's just Times Square.
All right, so do you want to tell us, Patrick, what you're talking
Spider-Man
about?
Spider-Man is coming to Disneyland. It's the greatest thing ever. It's Spider-Man in Disneyland. Sure, there have been other heroes in Disneyland before. You could have met Thor and Captain America. But this is Spider-Man. Oh, it's amazing. I'm so excited.
It is a little exciting. I mean, they're definitely pushing the fact that now we're working with Spider-Man. You know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe made that deal with Sony, and they want to push him big time so that he gets even more coverage. And he's coming to the store, what is it called? The Spiro? Anybody?
Oh, the one at Disney Springs?
Yeah.
Superhero Headquarters.
Yeah, the Superhero Headquarters, which I guess they're opening up a branch over in... Is it going to be in Disneyland exactly, like within Disneyland, or is it...
It's going to be in Interventions, which is... I forget what the new name of it is. I saw the thing earlier today and just wasn't paying too much attention.
Well, again, that's cool for everybody that lives around Disneyland, but Florida's getting screwed again because we're still not getting Spider-Man unless we go to Universal Studios. But...
And then their character looks like the Times Square version. He just doesn't smell as bad.
I kind of wonder now. Could they? Because isn't it? I'm definitely like grasping at straws here. But like they could never use like the Iron Spider that was in Civil War, Universal. I mean, is that something that Disney could do?
No, it's everything that's leaked about it. And we're not no one's really sure 100%, you know. The version I saw was really redacted to no end, and I'm not even 100% sure it was a real document. But there's really specifics about how they could use certain things and what they're licensed to do. I mean, who knows what's going on with the Hulk right now? Is it going to come back as the Hulk, or what's going on with everything over Universal? I don't think the characters are leaving Universal anytime soon. They definitely seem to be putting money, but there's even rumors that they're beginning to work with Disney to kind of, you know, give the middle finger to Fox and remove like the Fantastic Four Cafe and Doctor Doom Fearfall. I mean, that could just be because Fearfall is a horrible ride with a great pre-show, but it could be that they just are doing the same thing Marvel itself is doing and marginalizing the characters Fox has the rights to.
I was going to say, too, and we haven't seen them too much, but we did see some of the characters from Guardians of the Galaxy at Hollywood Studios, and we were able to have them. I mean, there's got to be some kind of loophole where we could bring other characters to...
There might have been characters excluded because, you know, they were sci-fi, they're considered sci-fi characters, or some... It's the redacted version was a very long contract, and when I was going through it, by the time I tried to figure stuff out, it was so redacted it didn't even seem worth really analyzing.
So this, what you've read, both of you have read, I've read a little bit of it too, is he's going to be like a meet and greet character at the store.
Well, it's not just a store there; it's going to be a whole store and meet and greets and small exhibits, from my understanding.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, it's good for them, but we get crap down here.
I mean, you could always go on the fantastic ride at Universal. I mean, it's one of the best rides there is.
Well, it's going to be closed.
No, you mean the Spider-Man ride, not the Fantastic Four.
No, the Spider-Man ride, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
And the other half of that building is going to be the Star Wars launch bay, I think, as well. So
yes. They're
not getting the whole building for it.
I would love if you alternated with different costumes. I'd love to see like a black costume Spider, like a symbiote costume Spider-Man. That'd be so awesome. I mean, they could do so much with it, and hopefully it'll be a success. And they're probably going to definitely. Well, I don't know. Would they charge for something like that?
No.
No, it's going to be meet and greets are always going to be part of admission. And they're going to probably have somebody there selling a photo pass.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll do something like that. Maybe if they make money off of the photo passes, if it's, like, very popular, maybe Disney will say, well, you know what? We really need to get these characters back so we can make some profit over, you know, in the East Coast.
They have, at this point, they have to find something Universal wants. And it's not just cash.
Oh, I know what they want. They want Star Wars.
Yeah, something they actually think they could possibly get.
Yeah, that's a long conversation that we'll save for another day. I think we talked about it in the past, but yeah, I think both sides are going to have problems at some point. But, well, again, that does sound good that Spider-Man's coming. Hopefully it's successful and we'll get to see more characters. I have a feeling we won't see any X-Men characters or Fantastic Four characters anytime soon, but... Mm. Seeing Spider-Man there sounds pretty good. Thanks for reminding me about that, Patrick.
No problem. You're the one who wrote the story.
No, that wasn't me today.
Oh, that one wasn't you?
Yeah. That was Tommy Boy. Anyway, all right, so what I was going to get into is I think this was it. Was this announced at Comic-Con, New York City Comic-Con?
Yes, it was.
Where they came out and they announced that... there is going to be a sequel to Ant-Man. It's going to be called Ant-Man and the Wasp. And then on top of that, they also mentioned that there is going to be three additional movies added to Phase 3. They just haven't named them yet. And that's what we're going to try to get into. We're all going to give our opinions as to what kind of movie we might actually see during Phase 3 that it could be. And I'm sure you guys have a lot of ideas. I have some ideas. And hopefully we'll get to see one of them or all of them. But we'll get to Ant-Man and the Wasp first. That kind of surprised me. I really didn't think we were going to see an Ant-Man sequel.
You didn't?
No.
What about the end of the movie that clearly set it up for a sequel?
No, well, she could have been in Infinity War.
Yeah, true. She could be an Avenger.
Yeah, I think that's the way they were going to go, is that she'd just be an Avenger. Because to me, again, I enjoyed Ant-Man a lot, but I just didn't think it merited a sequel. I could see him as a supporting character like he is in Civil War, and he'll be one in Infinity War and stuff like that, but I didn't think it was, you know, it made money and all that. I don't know, what did it make, like about $300-400 million or something like that, but I just didn't think that it really merited a sequel. But I like the title. I think that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
They put her in the title, and it sounds a lot better than Ant-Man 2.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
They seem to be just dropping the numbers completely at this point. It seems like I don't think we're going to see too many, unless it's, you know, as we're talking Iron Man 4,
yeah.
Just because they've been numbered that way. I thought we were going to see one, but I really thought they were going to, they had their plan and they knew what they were doing. I think the most troubling thing about this is they seem to say exactly what was going on. And now they're changing it up, might, you know, feed into that whole, there is no master plan as far as we really thought. Maybe we will be getting fatigued by the end of these things. Mm.
Yeah, I had mentioned that to my friend, even today. I said, did you know that they're adding like 4 more movies to Phase 3? And he's not really a huge fan, but he said, that seems like it's getting a little overboard. And...
Well, I don't think these are Phase 3. I think these are Phase 4 movies.
No, these are Phase 3. They said they're being added specifically to Phase 3.
So, but before Infinity War?
Yeah, they'll come out by 2020, which would be the last Infinity War.
That seems so far away.
Yeah.
It is. There's a lot of these movies. I mean, so far we have Cap.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange.
Strange.
Yeah.
Black Panther. Ragnarok. Captain Marvel and Inhumans, as well as the two.
And they moved Captain Marvel
up
and Black Panther to accommodate, I guess, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
And a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Black Panther has been getting screwed. It's gotten moved twice already.
Yeah, but I think it has a very good release date right now. I think that It's right around a holiday release. I think it's right around President's Day now, right? Or Martin Luther King Day in that area.
Well, that's actually... I think that's a good idea.
That's a death zone for films, though.
Yeah, but it, I mean, it's also... There's going to be nothing else there with it. I think it'll be okay.
It's a death zone, I agree. I mean, usually in January, you don't get box office hits.
No, I think it's February now that I'm thinking about it. I think it's President's Day. It might be President's Day weekend.
But I still have a lot of faith in that movie, too. I think that that's going to buck the trend. And, you know, even if it is released in January, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing it. It's definitely one of the Phase 3 ones that I'm really looking forward to seeing.
Me too.
Yeah, it's going to be a different story, which is good, and it's going to be something we haven't seen, even though, you know, his powers aren't anything all too different from who we have out there. He's a very different character.
Yeah.
Very, very different, yeah.
And, yeah, getting back to Ant-Man and the Wasp, I mean, I really liked Evangeline Lilly playing, was Hope Van Dyne.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Van Dyke, you know? But anyway, I think that, she did a great job in that role. I'm kind of glad that she's moving on to the Wasp, and I think she'll make a great character. I hope we get to see... I can't believe I'm going to say this, because I can't stand when characters take off their masks, but I'd really like to see her face a little more.
Yeah, I mean, I think they made a good casting choice. Speaking of casting in these movies, do we have a Captain Marvel yet?
No.
Huh.
I know they're saying Ronda Rousey is...
She can't act.
Yeah, you know,
please,
it's
no
like,
one ever play this podcast for her. I fear for my life.
Yeah, no, I don't want to see her either. She has no real experience. She was in that Entourage movie.
Well, she's been in like 4 or 5 films. But
has she?
Yeah, she's been pretty brutal in all of them.
And she's getting a starring role... Which in what Ronda Rousey's Roadhouse?
Ronda Rousey's Roadhouse. Roadhouse.
which totally sounds like a porn title. Let's be honest. But I think she is a hot commodity right now, and they're gonna try and put her in things. I mean, I haven't really seen much of her acting other than back at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And even by wrestling standards, that was not great acting out there.
And Captain Marvel really doesn't do any kind of ultimate fighting. I mean, she's not someone that, like, beats the crap out of somebody. I mean, she basically, you know, she uses her cosmic powers. Mm-hmm. I don't think you really need someone like Ronda Rousey in the movie. There's so many other ones that I'd like to see, like, my favorite is like Emily Blunt. I think she'd be really good.
Too British.
Yeah, but she was great in the Edge of Tomorrow. I don't know if you saw that one. I love that movie. But we'll, you know, maybe she's a little too British. Who was the other one that they were saying?
I haven't heard much. I mean, I've just heard that they're still having problems coming up with a story for it.
I mean, there's so many directions you can go with it.
And what I was hearing is right now, it's like the problem is she's Superman powerful, and that really like you've had the only other character that's kind of had a successful movie that way is Thor, and you're dealing with, you know, other gods. What do you do with her to, you know, bring in drama? And I've heard, you know, what are they going to do? Bring in the, you know, severe alcoholism storyline? Which,
I mean, if anybody, that's Tony.
Yeah, she had it too.
I know, but I'm saying Tony's way more well known for his drinking than Captain Marvel. You can go with a couple different directions. I mean, are you going Carol Danvers? There's a lot of different. I mean, we're not going Kamala Khan. I don't feel like she's had enough time for her to be. Headlining a movie, but there's so many different versions of Captain Marvel, we gotta figure out which one we're going for.
They did say they were gonna go with Carol Danvers, though.
Right. But there's also different versions of Danvers to consider.
Yeah, that's true. I think that they're gonna try to make it not as... What's the word I'm looking for? You know, not too sexual. So I think we're going to see the classic costume as opposed to
yeah,
the Ms. Marvel one.
I think it's going to be more of a cosmic story. They're going to tie into some sort of Kree invasion.
So let me just get to what I think one of the movies is, since you're going towards that way. The cosmic universe needs to expand, and I think one of those movies is a Nova movie.
Okay. So you say Nova is going to be one of them.
Yeah, because Ron, like you were saying, it's going to be cosmic, and that's how we're going to have to get introduced to these powers. I mean, Nova's pretty powerful, too.
Yeah, and they could... We saw the Nova Corps, you know, nothing exactly like that, but could they, you know, in response to these stones being out mm-hmm. there, create, you know, maybe they harness Nova's that stone into Nova's power source. Mm.
And they could introduce him in Guardians, too.
Yeah.
Maybe he can go off and have his own solo movie. That is a very good idea.
Yeah. So that's what I was wondering. And the other way I think they could introduce Captain Marvel is they've been mentioning Kree technology a lot on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I'm wondering if they would take that risk. Now, we opened the show talking about there may be a divide between Marvel TV and Marvel Cinematic. But with all the talk of Kree, I mean, could it be she's introduced in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. before her movie?
I don't think so. I think they might hint at some concepts of it. But, you know, when it comes down to it, if there's really a conflict, Feige and Horn are going to go to Iger and Staggs, and they're going to win.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with Ron.
Yep.
I think that we're not going to see her in S.H.I.E.L.D., but they're definitely going to win. And if anything's going to happen, that... what the heck is his name? Putterhorn? I can't even remember. Putterman, or whatever. I think he's going to be ousted if, like, they give.
Yeah, I definitely think we're headed in that direction. I'm actually very excited about a Captain Marvel movie because I've been reading a lot about her, and actually, she plays into Jessica Jones' storyline a little bit. She was the only Avenger who wanted the other Avengers to stop beating her before she became Jessica Jones. So, yeah, she's an interesting story. A lot of history, the alcoholism, the many different incarnations. So it's a cool time to see what they're going to do with her.
I've read a little bit about Captain Marvel too, and I honestly think that they could do almost like a Green Lantern story.
It's very similar to Lantern, just like Nova.
Yeah, I mean that's all I got to do. Is that, what was she working for? I don't know. Was she working for S.H.I.E.L.D. at some point? And then she somehow got chosen and got the cosmic powers of Captain
Marvel.
She was
an Air Force pilot, I believe.
Maybe that's...
Which goes right into Green Lantern.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all they got to do. Is that, you know, they choose somebody from Earth. She gets the powers. You know, learns how to use them. Maybe goes off in space for a while. You know, helps defeat some sort of threat. The end.
She's leading Alpha Flight at the moment in the books, it looks like, which is also the A-Force team, which is the all female Avengers.
She's so you know, we are going to talk eventually of catching up on everybody on the comics, but what's been happening, and it's horrible, is that the special event that's been going on, oh my god, I can't even think of it anymore, Secret Wars, right? We're still in Secret Wars.
Yeah,
has not ended, but the release dates of the books that have been affected by Secret Wars have come up, and they've already started putting new books out. So it's just a crazy jibber-jabber world in the Marvel comic universe right now.
Right. Last week was the launch of four titles. Doctor Strange, number one. Avengers Zero, which is basically a wrap-up of what the five or six different Avengers books are going to be. There's, you know, Avengers, New Avengers, A-Force, Uncanny Avengers. There's a Squadron Supreme book.
Well, there's also an Ultimates book. Right? AIM.
That's, I believe, the New Avengers book.
Okay, because it's just crazy. It's going to... I want to make this clear. I am never following the entire run of a special event for a comic book again. Like, I thought it'd be awesome to cover for the podcast, but holy crap, it's a lot of books and a lot of really bad stuff.
I have a bunch of them. I picked and choose what I was going to buy. I haven't read most of them. I've been reading... I'm caught up through the main Secret Wars storyline. The main book has been very good.
It has been. It has been good, but it's been delayed, so obviously there's been issues with it.
Right, and I mean, a lot of that's often the art itself, and it's been a decently pretty book. But it's also kind of weak on a lot of that background story, which, you know, comes into the second book. And I think that ends up being a problem eventually. Unless you're going to sell one of these Ultimate Collection editions that's like $150 and everything's included.
Let's get to your second. What's your second one? Do you think that...
So, I mean, I've been thinking about what other major characters do we really need to see in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And you guys seem to think that they're not going to elevate anybody out of the television realm. So, you know, like... An Agent May movie isn't happening. That's not something they're going to do. They're not going to give Quake her own movie. But I'm stalling. I don't have a second. Somebody else go.
You go.
All right. I think one of them that's going to come up, if we're going to stick on these cosmic theory, cosmic things, is we're going to have to get an Adam Warlock movie. You know, there was hinted at his cocoon. Was in the collector's rooms in both appearances in Thor and in Guardians.
Yeah.
And he plays such a pivotal role in the Infinity Stone saga that he's going to have to come at some point into the, I mean, even if it's just in Guardians,
yeah,
he has to be there. But I think if he plays as key role as he's supposed to, they need to develop him a little better before that. Because if people don't know, in the books, he's kind of organizing the resistance against Thanos, and then eventually he becomes the keeper of the gauntlet once Thanos is defeated. And then he realizes he can't control all the stones, even as powerful as he is. There's too much temptation, so he splits them up. But he has been the key point. Like, I think through the 80s and 90s, everything Infinity Stones was somehow tied to him.
Well, that is a good idea, but I don't think he's going to get his own solo movie. I think he's going to be in Guardians 2. They already said that Guardians 2 is going to be about fathers and sons, and I have a feeling that they're going to change the story around, and Adam Warlock is going to be... oh, Jesus.
Peter Quill, Star-Lord.
Thank you. I was looking for Star-Lord. I was going to say Star-Killer.
Different
Star-Lord's,
guy.
Yep. He's going to be Star-Lord's father. And I think that's how they're going to introduce him. He's going to have a pivotal role in the movie. And then he can come into his own, I guess, when Infinity War comes out.
So what do you got, Joe, for a movie?
First one that I have is Planet Hulk. I just think that we're going to see that at some point. They already said that they have plans for the Hulk in the future in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah, he could play a side role in Thor Ragnarok, as they've been hinting at. But I have a feeling, I still feel the way they set up Avengers Age of Ultron after watching it a couple of times, that he probably went off into space. He was supposed to be in Civil War, and I think he was even on the set, and then they decided not to use him. Because I think it's going to come out that he's not on this planet. That it could have been similar to the beginning of Guardians, where he took the Quinjet maybe out to the regions of space, and then some aliens may have abducted him, and maybe the ship landed in the ocean, and that's what they're talking about. But I have a feeling that we're going to see some sort of movie with Planet Hulk, because I think right now, that's the only way a solo Hulk movie is going to work, is if they put a gladiator type of style. It was this very successful series that Marvel had, and definitely one of his better stories as of late. So I kind of see that happening.
See, I saw a Hulk movie too, but I saw it going in a different, somewhat different way. Is it comes down to one of the things where Banner's trying to cure himself again, and he ends up separating the Hulk into its different forms. Red Hulk, Gray Hulk, Green Hulk, Mr. Fix-It,
oh, that'd be cool.
And himself, and he and these different versions are fighting, and he has to figure out how to get them back into one version that eventually will be able to have that controlled Hulk that they've actually really used for most of his storylines over the last couple decades, you know?
Yeah, that sounds really good, actually.
Yeah, I'd be kind of on board with that. I've really been very interested in the multiple Hulks as they've played a big part in the Secret Wars event, so that's cool.
Yeah, and I was always a big fan of the Grey Hulk. I mean, he may not have been as powerful, but I liked, sometimes you just kind of like something different. And I wasn't maybe a huge fan of Mr. Fix-It, but I know at times he was gray without being Mr. Fix-It. I think he was a little more intelligent than the Green Hulk. And I'd like to see him on the screen, and we were supposed to see him in Age of Ultron, and Marvel felt that was going to confuse people when the Scarlet Witch basically fooled around with the Hulk's mind.
Supposed to be Red Hulk.
No, it was supposed to be Grey Hulk. For some reason, they were changing things around. They were going to make it that was like, it's not Berserker Hulk, it's Rage Hulk or something like that. But instead of, he was going to be gray. And then they just decided, I guess Whedon felt that, let's bring in the Gray Hulk. And then Feige or whoever said, yeah, it's just going to confuse people because everyone's used to seeing him in green and we really can't explain why he turned from green to gray. So let's just leave him green. But he does look kind of gray in there at times, like when you do look at that battle. So I kind of wonder if that was a little Easter egg. But, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I do think that we're going to see Hulk pretty soon before we see him in Infinity War. Either Thor or maybe his own solo movie. All right, the other movie I think that they could be doing is... And I'm going to say this as West Coast Avengers just because it's a second Avengers team. Hmm. I know the way Ultron ended. And the team was starting to split up. And the way they're making it for Civil War, you're going to have teams split. But there used to be East Coast Avengers, which was the main Avengers, and then the West Coast Avengers. And I could see them having their own solo movie, especially if Civil War is successful. You can bring in Vision, Scarlet Witch, Hawkeye, and a couple others, maybe War Machine. You don't need like the main guys like that, like Tony Stark or Captain America. Maybe bringing in, I don't know if it's possible, who was Captain America, that other agent? He wore the black costume.
U.S. Agent?
U.S. Agent.
Yeah, that'd be cool if they somehow could bring him in, But
that Rogers when someone else took over the Cap?
That's true. It was. Yeah, someone took over Cap's costume. But I'd still like to see U.S. Agent at some point. We probably will see it unless we do get superhero fatigue at some point. But anyway, that's what I think. My second one is West Coast Avengers. My last one I would love to see is Defenders movie. And I know that they're pushing the Defenders on TV with Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, Jessica Jones, Punisher possibly. But I'd like to see a theatrical Defenders with Doctor Strange, the Hulk, Namor, and bring in Daredevil, Luke Cage, Punisher, Jessica Jones and all that. And I think that would be, I'd make at least about $700, $800 million.
Yeah, I think they already have their plans for that, though. I don't think that's going to change.
Yeah. But I'm not. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm not crazy about the whole idea of the Defenders on TV. And again, this is my wishful thinking part because it's not really the Defenders. It's just they're just combining the TV heroes on Netflix.
No, those are Daredevil.
Yeah, but they're all kind of weak.
How dare you?
I dare. Because
Iron Fist is amazing.
I don't know. To me, the Defenders were the Dark Avengers. Meaning, like, you had Doctor Strange, Hulk, Namor, Silver Surfer, which you probably will not get. But that's how I remember the Defenders. And I'm old school and all that. And I know Daredevil, Luke Cage were in there from time to time. I don't know, is Iron Fist in the Defenders?
I mean, he's hero for hire with Luke Cage, so, I mean, I guess they kind of run hand in hand.
That's my wishful thinking part, is I just would love to see Doctor Strange, Hulk, and Namor on the same screen, and then those other guys can come and hang out with them. I'm fine with that. But I just want to see those three, and I'd love to see a Defenders versus Avengers movie at some point. But that would probably be in Phase 4. But again, this is all in my head. I mean, no one listens to me over at Marvel. They just hang up on my phone calls.
You probably should stop calling them.
Yeah, I think I will. Anyway, so Ron, do you have any more?
I think Hulk was going to be one of mine. And I already said what I thought was going there. And I think there might be the inevitable Iron Man 4.
Yeah, that's true. They'll get Downey back again. It's like, want another $100 million?
Well, it seems that everybody became way more open when the guy who we can't remember his name kind of got booted from being in charge. So I'm very interested in maybe people will hop aboard again.
Yeah, I hope so. He's a fun guy. I mean, I'm just going to say really quick. Even while watching Ultron, he does stick out because he just has a great sense of comic timing, and he does play Tony Stark very well.
Yeah, he is the epitome of Tony Stark.
And even if he's not the lead and they go War Machine for the movie, like, I think that might be another way to do it, but I think one of the Iron characters is going to, you know, even if it's somebody, a bad guy gets the suit. The Iron Patriot version of Norman Osborn.
Well, I guess they could do that, but I could do without Iron Patriot. Anything?
I've been thinking a lot about this, and I've been reading a lot of listicles while you guys have been talking.
Okay.
And a lot of people seem to think that She-Hulk, Jennifer Walters, could really use her own film. And I think it'd be all right. And a lot of people have said Namor and Moon Knight. But I think you guys are on the right path. I think we're looking at a sequel here. However, what you're not seeing is the most obvious sequel is, you know, all those Captain America movies. What about Captain America and Falcon?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And it's not Rogers, you know?
Oh, you mean it's Bucky?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to see that.
So that could be... I mean, Do we still think Rogers is surviving Civil War or not at this point?
No.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah, so maybe they think he's dead. Like, they think he's dead, and then maybe there's, you know, something saying he's not, so there might be another Cap movie searching for him. When it is, you know, Sam and Bucky.
Well, I do think he'll probably come back to life in Infinity War. You know, was it the Soul Stone or something like that? Well, but then again, doesn't Vision have that on his head?
Mind.
Oh, he's got the Mind Stone. So, yeah, I mean, there's always... thing with comics is, and they can do this in the movies now, is they can bring people back from the dead. I would not be surprised if we saw Quicksilver come back somehow. They did take his body.
It'd be very interesting to see what's going to happen. So if you were paying attention to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they're clearly building towards Hydra. And I do know of one Hydra-turned-SHIELD agent and a very confused young lady who's played both sides of it. I think there's a chance we actually see a Spider-Woman movie. She's a different character. She has a different set of powers that are not at all Spider-related, but she, you know, they're there. I resisted saying a Squirrel Girl movie or a MODOK movie, which both of I'd like to see, or Moon Knight, because, I mean, he's just Batman, but Moon Knight. So, I mean, I think that Spider-Woman, she fits into this world of intrigue, and I think to an extent Marvel would like to continue making these political thriller superhero movies, and she might be a good fit. The other thing I thought of is a Black Widow standalone.
Ugh.
I think that's a possibility, but I still see the problem of, you know, making it too soft. But, you know, there was something this week that came out about Netflix's rules. And they're pretty much allowed to do whatever they want, except no F-bombs and no nudity. So I think you could play that PG-13 R-rated line a little bit more than I thought they would allow.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to see a Black Widow movie. I'm getting sick of her. Especially after Age of Ultron. I think she needs to take a vacation. But you do mention the She-Hulk, and you know what pisses me off is that I would love to have seen her in Civil War on Cap's team. Instead, we got Agent Carter's granddaughter on there.
Yeah.
She would be such a better fit if she was on the team, although in the comics I know she was on Tony's side. But they kind of mixed things up, you know, in the Civil War movie. But yeah, that would have been great if they could have somehow brought in... it's too late now. I mean, like, they could have introduced her in Age of Ultron or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, I would like to see a She-Hulk movie at some point.
I think Jennifer Walters is a better character than She-Hulk. And I think that having her fighting alongside with Cap in the courtroom, I mean, with Tony in the courtroom, like, as his lawyer, while still harboring the She-Hulk behind the scenes, is a very intriguing storyline. But you're right, I mean, it's almost all in the can, so.
Yeah.
What if the movie is a cat, like, they'll surprise and do a second half of Civil War?
Oh, that'd be so cool. I think that's what they should, because that's what I've been saying for a long time. I think it's too short. Even if it's like 3 hours, I think it's just going to be too short to tell a story of Civil War. I'm giving credit to this. I think Taylor had said this. Make the first one be Captain America's Civil War. Make the second one be Iron Man Civil War.
Oh, wow.
And the end of the first one would have Spider-Man switching sides. And hopefully they'll do something like that, but... I would flip out if I got the news on that they were going to make that into two movies. Let's hope that that's what happens, but...
I mean, here's the thing. They say Strange is the second half of next year. They haven't started filming, or they just are beginning to film.
Yeah.
So maybe this is... They'll just move Strange to one of those other slots and just surprise... I mean, it's not something a major studio normally does. But they've really been playing a little differently with these movies, especially with changing the schedules the way they already have.
But I will say that, I mean, are you trying to say that they may have filmed one and two back to back?
I think they filmed it. I think that production schedule was really, really long.
I thought it was short. I thought it was like bing, bang, boom.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't even remember how long ago. Like, it started
in April.
Started in April, and they were still filming at the end of August. They had to fly in the actors from Germany.
Yeah, I remember that. So, guys, we've been kind of talking about this under false pretenses. These movies are all scheduled for after Infinity War 2. These movies are scheduled for May 1st, 2020, July 10th, 2020, November 6th, 2020. These are the Phase 4 movies. These are not Phase 3 movies.
Well, I thought they were still called Phase 3. I mean, Ant-Man should not have technically been Phase 3.
Yeah.
If they're capping it with Avengers. But...
Wait, when does Part 2 come out?
2019.
Oh, it's 2019?
2019. Yeah. So, Ant-Man and the Wasp slots in between the two Avengers Infinity War movies. So that's very interesting.
That was the Inhumans spot, right?
Yeah, and the Inhumans is past, has been bumped to July 12th, 2019.
Again, we're just doing speculation. I mean, I'm still hoping, and I've been hearing talk of, yeah, this isn't happening. I want to see the Guardians in Infinity War. I mean, I want to see part two to just be an extravaganza where you have as many people as possible on the screen going after Thanos. But it's possible that it won't happen too. But I think that that's what it should be leading to.
I don't think there's a way it works without that.
I just remember recently reading, and it could have been the director for James Gunn who did Guardians, saying that, yeah, they're not going to be in Infinity War.
He plays things pretty close to the chest, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, but hopefully that's the case. Anyway, so that's basically what we're talking about, like the three possible movies, and I guess we're going to have to wait a little longer to find out what they're going to be if they are coming out in 2020.
Yeah, that's the dates that was given.
Well, let's hope they're really good ones and that they blow our socks off. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about Star Wars Battlefront beta that went public to the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the PC. And a lot of people played it. A lot of people had a lot of impressions about it. I played a lot of it. I know Ron played some of it.
Patrick hates everyone.
Yeah, he still has to get on board. But, you know, we'll try to see if we could talk him into before the actual game comes out. Anyway, my impressions of the beta, I really loved it. I was really surprised that it got the feel of what the Star Wars movies were like, especially during the AT-AT assault part. It really felt like you were in the movie in Empire Strikes Back when there's an invasion on Hoth and you got a chance to play as either the Rebels or you can play as the Empire, as Stormtroopers. It was a 20-on-20 game, and you can control all sorts of vehicles through pickups. Like, you can be in an X-Wing, a Y-Wing, an A-Wing. And on the Empire side, you can be in an AT-AT. You could be in AT-ST, TIE Fighter. And it just was a lot of fun, and it really did have the feel of a Star Wars movie. You could also play as a hero. I mean, it's a little tricky. There are these, like, kind of places that are almost like buried in the snow, and they're like power-ups. And if you're lucky enough, you can play as, again, an AT-AT. You know, you get one of those, and then you call in, you know, the AT-AT, and you're inside it. But you can also play as what they call heroes, either Luke Skywalker or Darth Vader. And they're pretty much indestructible for a while, and they do a lot of damage. I never got to play as either one of them, but I've seen them on the field a lot, and they do look pretty cool. But it does. It looks like a great game. They got the visuals down perfect.
It looks so cinematic. Oh, man, it's so beautiful.
It is. I mean, and the sound is perfect. I mean, sounds that you heard throughout all the movies, because I know DICE had access to the Lucasfilm vault, and they were able to scan in all of the AT-ATs and the AT-STs and the weapons and everything. The sound, they also got access to the sound files. I mean, it's just perfect. They have the John Williams music in the background during key moments, and it's just, I love the game. The only problem that I see with this game, I'm a big DICE fan. I've been playing the Battlefield series for years, and the one thing that they do great, you have to communicate with your group in order to win the mode that you're playing in, to complete the objective. And a lot of people will go Rambo and just go running off and just trying to get as many kills as possible, and that doesn't really help the team. There's no team speak in this, in anything. It's not on the PC or any of the consoles, so I don't know how they expect people to communicate. It's just going to be very difficult, and it's not going to end very well unless they change their mind at the last minute where people can communicate through mics. I hope they change that. If they don't, I think it's a big omission that they're leaving out. There's no single player campaign. I really wish they would have put one in there. I think it's kind of lazy that they're not putting in there.
That bothers me a lot.
Yeah.
That's my problem with it. And there was, what I played was the single player, like, survival mode mission. I really just wanted to get a feel of the gameplay. I'm not big on big shooters and that kind of, in that kind of world. I play Destiny, but that's not a big PvP. At least not the parts I play. I don't really go into the Crucible there. So I thought, you know, there is some one player, but it's extremely limited in what you can do.
Well, one thing about that one, too, is there's six waves. When the final game comes out, there'll be 15 waves. So, and plus, we were only able to play on normal mode. There are other, like, hard and I think extremely hard or something like that. So there'll be some sort of variety in there. And we'll also get to play on different planets. Like, right now, we've only played on Tatooine. But we'll also be able to play on Endor in that mode. And I guess Hoth. And the other one is called Solstice. Did you guys ever hear of that planet?
Solus?
Solus.
Solus is... that's... you know who Nine Numb is? Lando's co-pilot?
Mm-hmm.
He's a Solustrian. And Solus is also where the Rebel fleet amassed before the Battle of Endor.
Okay. Well, did you play any of that? Like, it was called Drop Zone, I think?
No, I have not played any of the multiplayer. I just really wanted to take a look at how the game played, how it looked, and all of that was great. It really was.
Yeah, that AT-AT was hard. The AT-ST was hard to take down, though.
So
yeah, you have...
Go ahead.
For basically grenade, it was my...
Yeah.
So here's my issue. Is if they could combine a game like this, and I know, Joe, you've been playing the, what are they called, Battlefront games?
Battlefield?
Battlefield games for a long time, and you're comfortable in this. This isn't the genre I'm comfortable in. I'd rather develop a character, like build my own character, and play this game looking exactly like it does, but being able to build my character a little bit and, you know, gaining experience and stuff like that. That's the one thing that really keeps me from, all right, I need a PS4 in this game immediately.
So take the engine and make a new version of, like, Dark Forces out of it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I would like. I want to build my own character. You know, I don't want to just pick up random Rebel A or things like that, you know?
Well, I think you can sort of build your own character. You know, the appearance of your character. I mean, you could choose either a male or a female, yeah, or different races and stuff like that. I mean, you can kind of, you know, pre-do that. And you also have the options of buying different weapons. And that'll go into your loadout. So you can kind of develop your character.
You can customize, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know how far it's going to go, and I don't think it's going to go that far. It does kind of worry me, again, that it's focused a lot of multiplayer. I don't know how much life that's going to be. And they're also, they announced already the DLC pack, which is going to cost you...
expensive DLC pack.
Yeah, it's like $50. Battlefield had it. It's kind of a pain in the butt because it's like you're getting like 20 maps for $50. And you know, after a while,
there's new modes though. It's not just maps. It's game modes too.
So you see, I wasn't 100% sure of that. So you're saying like some game modes that we have in the basic version or the standard version is not. Won't be available unless you buy the DLC?
No, my understanding is that there's going to be other types of, you know, survival modes or things like that. That's what I've been told. I didn't look too into this. I just had this discussion with my brother-in-law who follows this and, you know, was streaming a lot of, who streams, you know, Twitch conferences all the time and stuff like that. So he knows, I trust him on that, but...
I'm going to go really quickly with the modes. Fighter Squadron is basically you just get into a fighter and you have a dogfight up in the air. You know, you play Rebel, Empire, whatever. And you can play the Falcon at some point. Supremacy is the big one. It's going to be like the 40 players, 20 on 20. And it's going to be take place on, I guess, four different planets. And the map's going to be huge. It's Battlefield maps are very, very big. And to accommodate, like, 40 players, it's going to be very big. And I'm really looking forward to that match. Cargo is a capture the flag sort of thing, which I hate capture the flag, and I'm probably not going to play it, where you just move cargo from one area to the other, and the other team steals it. Droid Run is another mode where it's basically you have to gather three droids, and so there's the enemy. Walker Assault is what we played on the beta, where basically it's reacting what happened in Hoth, and we have to destroy the AT-ATs before they get to our base. Blast is your classic team deathmatch. It'll be 10 versus 10 people, and that's great. That's a good size for a small map, and that's what it's going to be. Drop Zone, they basically drop these pods, and each side has to basically get to the pod first, and then defend it, and then the other team could take it over. And they did have that on the beta, and it was kind of fun. Heroes versus villains. Now, this is a new mode, and it's basically, I guess, you know, you could play as Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, Boba Fett, other iconic characters, and it's just a team of heroes versus villains. Now, Hero Hunt, now this is an interesting mode too. It's going to be 1v7. So you can play as like maybe Boba Fett. You'll be the main character. You'll be the one. And seven other players are basically going to have to try to take you out. So you'll be a little more powerful than the other players, but you got seven players going against you. And that's the whole thing. You know, it's like if you can survive the attack. I think there's no respawning. I think that basically, like if I kill two or three players, they're gone. So now,
if he dies, he dies.
Yeah, he dies. Yeah. So you're gonna have 12 maps, 4 planets, 2 free maps. If you pre-order, you'll get the battle for Jakku a week earlier. Battle of Jakku will, if you pre-order, it's December 1st. You'll be able to play it. Those who don't pre-order will still get it. It'll be December 8th. I'm definitely gonna pick it up. I wasn't convinced at first, but after playing it. Yeah, I'll pick it up, and hopefully I won't regret my purchase. But it's looking good.
Yeah, it cemented to me that I might get it eventually, but there's enough other games out there right now and coming out. I have Destiny for an online shooter, and I'm going to have Fallout for a single player, so that should keep me busy.
Yes, everybody, go ahead. What were you saying?
I want the game very badly, but I do not have a PlayStation 4.
Well, there's always Santa Claus.
He's a good guy.
And just be good, Patrick.
That's so hard, Joe.
Just keep eating Taco Bell value boxes till you win one.
That will be detrimental to my health.
Well, in that case, you might not be complaining, and because you won't be able to.
Anyway. Star Wars Battlefront comes out November 17th on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Definitely get it if you can. Looks like a great game, especially if you're a Star Wars fan. Well, that's about it for the show, and this will bring a close to episode number 13.
Unlucky number 13.
That's true. I was thinking about if we should go to season 2 and make this episode 1.
Not yet.
Yeah. Anyway, it's unlucky episode number 13 of Nerd Alert. And guys, could you tell fans where they can get a hold of us?
Yeah, we actually use it a little bit this week.
Woo! I did good.
At Nerd Alert Pod on Twitter for the show, and I'm at Gracie's Butler.
You can email the podcast at nerdalertpod@gmail.com. I am at Hack LaSalle. Occasionally I say potty language. And I would like to remind everyone that pretty soon Around the Hub will be coming back, and these two gentlemen will be at my mercy as they join the Around the Hub panel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm actually looking forward to that. That should be fun. I hope I get past the first round. Am I guaranteed to get past the first round?
I do take bribes.
Okay. Anyway, it's going to be a tough one. When is that? That's supposed to be when. That's going to be airing next week sometime.
Yeah, it'll be airing next week sometime.
Cool.
Next week from when this is recorded.
Yeah, we don't know when this is coming out. Anyway, thanks for joining us. Hope that you'll join us next week. See ya.
Stay nerdy.